Welcome to Nerdy 4, the stand-up comedy podcast where me, Amy Brown, I find out what cool people are nerdy for. I have one of the coolest people ever in my costume chamber right now. Please welcome to the stage, Ian Aber. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm pausing for applause, but okay.
I'm
great. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay. What do you call this room again?
My costume chamber.
Costume chamber.
Do you see it now? Do you see
a
the costumes?
Bit. Yeah, I don't see any wigs hanging from the walls.
There's a dresser.
She's like a wig carousel.
Yeah, she's rich enough that she's got class.
Well, they're all terrible wigs.
It doesn't matter.
I want like a nice, like a real
wig. I have
wig.
A wall of wig.
Do you have a wall of wigs?
I just put a nail up for every wig I get. They're not good or like high quality.
Are they real hair? Mine are all plastic Amazon. Absolutely. I want a real wig. Yeah. I want a real wig. I got to do a little.
What do I need human hair for? You know?
Well, because then it looks cooler. Whatever. And when we all get cancer eventually, you're all set. You have all your wigs ready. I had a friend who's Japanese.
Cancer eventually, okay.
And she got cancer and she had to go to Japan to get her wigs.
Because her head was so small?
No, because she wanted like the authentic Japanese hair. Her head's so small. No, she's a
normal
head.
Do you know? So she's like, I don't want any white people's hair or whatever.
She
has cancer, so she can do it
to my people.
Wants.
Yeah, and she probably wanted to visit her parents.
Is this how these open, these episodes?
That got dark fast.
Wow.
Okay, but let me talk about
how
you.
Is she, your friend?
She's wonderful.
Okay,
she's cancer-free.
How'd the wigs look?
They looked great, and she would even surf in them, and then if she fell off her surfboard, she'd grab her wig and her surfboard. Yeah, she's really cool.
I love her.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she's a survivor.
She'd even surf in her wigs. I love a sentence like that.
This is all about my friend Aki. Okay. And she's actually, I think you've met her because I brought her backstage at Laughing Skull one time. And she got fake breasts. It was breast cancer, fake breasts. And our kids were all little. And then
why can't we just call them breast augmentation? Why does everyone have to say fake breasts?
Well, you're going to it was.
I know, but anyways.
Well, she had cancer then. Now she has fake boobs.
Now she has fake boobs. But she would go and hug all the kids at school. And the new breasts.
And
they were all about breast height for their head, and they would just bounce off her tits.
So it was a bad boob job?
No, you just don't have a lot of feeling. And if you're, you go to a like a progressive school.
They're like numb?
Well, I don't know. I don't have any breasts, regular or otherwise.
Have you ever been offered breasts?
To suckle from?
No, like let's say a friend of mine's brother has bought his wife a few sets of titties over the years.
Oh.
Like some upgrades, you know what I mean? Like when they first got together before they got married, so she looked in her pictures, he bought her some titties, and then like 10 years in, it's like tires, you know what I mean? You gotta
replace them.
Yeah.
I've heard the same thing for the size of an engagement ring.
Yeah.
Like you kind of have a starter engagement ring.
Oh, no, you get an upgrade.
And then after you've made some more money and or
had some kids,
ripped out your hoo-ha, pushing out babies,
but
you get the upgrade.
You're supposed to get them replaced every like, what is it like?
You are 10 years.
Rings, yeah, diamonds go bad.
Yeah, diamonds
have to get those.
No,
notoriously going bad.
Yeah. It's like vodka. Once you open the bottle, you got to drink it right away.
The whole thing. It's going to oxidize.
Like my dad, oh God. But because you're supposed to replace them, right? Though your
breast implants.
Yeah, well, gravity does its thing too. So you know what I mean?
Like
you
want to.
This is only for women. Men never have to change themselves. They get better
you
with
get a
age.
Scrotal, you can get a scrotal lift.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a tight scrote. That's my Amy, I'll put that on my wish list for Christmas this year. Get me that tight scrote surgery.
A scrotum lift. Is there like special creams to make it less hairy wrinkly?
I'd like to be tighter, but also more wrinkles. Is that an option?
Like a pruning?
Pruning.
Like you've been swimming?
Yeah, can I get it pruned?
Yeah.
A nice pruned scrotum. Clean comedy, let's go.
Is that what this is?
No, I scared you.
One time.
Did you just say you had Gay Bob on here? I mean,
So with Gay Bob, we did one episode.
You had to repaint the room.
We had to redo it because I had pitcher margaritas.
Oh, God.
We had to redo it. Okay, I didn't do a proper presentation.
You also didn't answer my question.
Oh, have I been offered fake titties? Okay,
yeah, like
here
as
we
a,
go.
This year, you've been so good.
Oh.
Let me get you some titties.
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
When I had my second child, I got real thin afterwards because I was living in Colorado and they don't make you eat. They make sure you don't eat there.
Yeah.
You can get half an avocado if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And they got real thin, and after you have a baby, they get real empty, and they were just like, so gone. And I was in my friend's garage we were all out in the garage hanging out, and I was like, I'm thinking about getting breast augmentation. And this guy, I had just met him. He's like, don't do it. My wife did it, and now she can't come when I suck her nipples. Clean comedy.
You know what, though? They do not tell you that when you go to get the titties, that you're never going to be able to come from having your nipples sucked on. Yeah. And that should be right up there.
So it just kills all the nerve endings? Or
I guess so.
Yeah,
because
they got to cut the skin to put the things in. It's a whole thing.
Okay, so just sidebar to that.
Yeah.
Fascinating. But I was in Colorado this weekend.
Oh.
And I saw a woman. We went to a breakfast place. We sat at the bar because we wanted to wait for a table. And so this straight couple comes up, and Payne and I love to just observe straight people doing
in the wild.
Being all straight or whatever. And he orders an 8-egg breakfast monstrosity, right? Uh-huh. With double bacon and some flapjacks and blah, blah, blah. And she orders a turkey wrap with a side of cottage cheese.
Oh,
yeah, right? I mean,
cottage cheese, you can get that in a restaurant?
I guess in Colorado you can. That's what Payne said.
That's they are there.
He was like, she surely meant cream cheese, right? And then they brought her some cottage cheese, and she barely touched it. He, meanwhile, ate himself into a coma.
How was his figure?
He was big and she was tiny and petite.
Okay.
And
maybe so cottage cheese they is were like the
a
answer.
Sitcom. They were like a sitcom
a
couple.
Sitcom?
Yeah.
My grandmother loved cottage cheese, and it was part of a diet. If you ordered a diet at a restaurant, plate in the 50s, 60s, 70s, it would be a hamburger with no bun and a scoop of cottage cheese.
Yeah, they still do that.
Is Atkins.
We were somewhere where it was a burger place, and the lunch special was a hamburger patty with a scoop of cottage cheese on top of it.
Oh, on top? That's a pimento cheese, yes, sure. But not cottage cheese.
Apparently, it's not. It's 15% of cases of breast augmentation. You lose nipple sensation, but it's a temporary thing.
Could not let that go, could you?
I was curious about it.
No, I mean, keep us honest.
Joel needs curious to know what's happening with the nipples.
But that 15%, that's a gamble.
That's a gamble. I don't like those odds. You know, a lot of people love nipple play, and I would feel bad if somebody...
What if you lose just one?
Oh, yeah.
And then the other one's going to get sucked right off.
Yeah, you're left one's... You're not getting anything from that. Yeah. That's getting blood from a stone. You got to focus on the righty.
Have you ever had fancy shoes and you're driving a car and the heel gets worn down on the side that's for the gas pedal? That's what the nipples are going to be like. Oh. The one that works is going to get all worn down.
Yeah. Yeah. But my job as producer is to research things.
Okay.
Yes, this is for science.
Yeah, it's for science. Well, I just, I was worried about
nipple
play.
Can you give me a comparison? What's the main difference between American wigs and Japanese wigs?
Yeah.
I'm joking. Because I'm wondering, it's like a...
Well, I think she was just her texture of hair. And yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know.
She
got the money, honey. Which I think she was visiting her parents.
So now,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about you.
Okay.
You are a wonderful comedian, been in Atlanta, traveling everywhere. How long have you been doing comedy?
12 years, officially.
12 years.
Yeah.
And...
Too long.
We all come to you. We sit at your feet. What are we doing wrong? How do we get better at comedy? That's what I do anyway.
I wish all of you did that, but only some of you do that.
Oh, I grew up, I'm Gen X, so I'm used to make it rough, daddy.
Well, I've been doing comedy for 12 years. I started late. So I started when I was 38 years old.
Okay.
After a lifetime of working in IT and finance and stuff and being told all the time, oh, you're so funny, you're so funny. When I wasn't trying to be, I would always I'd always have the smart little comment in the meeting that got everyone to laugh and then would get me in trouble later or whatever. So I finally decided to try stand up, and I tried stand up and I took a class
Which class did you take, Jeff Justice?
I won't name them.
Oh, I did it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's fun.
Bleep that out. Do we bleep in our thing? We haven't bleeped anything yet.
We've bleeped some stuff.
Okay.
But mainly for clips.
We can leave that in if we don't talk about them anymore.
Okay. I took a class
because I
you
to keep it neutral. I helped teach a class.
You helped, but
I always put that out there like that because I really could never, would never have the patience to try to teach someone stand-up comedy.
So
do you know what I mean? You're either funny or you're not. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
And there's definitely been a lot of people who've taken the class that I helped teach, and they just weren't, you know what I mean? They didn't understand what was funny about a joke. They didn't, some people just, the idea of a setup and punchline just doesn't click for them. Very few people. Mm-hmm. It's almost, everyone, for the most part, almost everybody's at least funny enough to, like, maybe they don't want to do stand-up for a living, but they can learn how to write a joke and enjoy themselves.
Be a better public speaker.
Exactly.
Be a better, a guest at a dinner party. If you're not coming with setups and punchlines to my dinner party, you're not invited.
I thought you had to sing at your dinner party.
We do have, some people have to sing, and some people can just watch the singers. Yeah. So it's, at least
but no,
two
I
parts.
Did. I enjoyed it. It was like, I really like writing jokes, just in general. And at the time when I was helping teach the class, it was like, I kind of was like just sort of figuring out what kind of jokes I like to tell. And then writing jokes for other people really kind of made me go, oh, I am really funny, because it's not just me making my own personal experience funny. I can take somebody else's experience. And so it kind of made me like more confident in just my general. And my comedy got better. I could really feel the difference.
Oh, that's cool.
And after I worked a couple years like writing jokes for other people, for sure.
That's cool. Do you have any other jobs that you do that I don't know about? Some people, like the comedians, will have secret jobs writing for Cartoon Network and all these things.
I'm not secretly writing for Cartoon Network. I do occasionally write.
What do you do secretly? No, just kidding.
I do. I write for. I've written jokes for. I won't say, but
famous like, people.
I don't know how famous, but like you know, people who get paid to do it for a living. I've definitely done punch up or just written a joke in
That's
their voice
fun.
And yeah. So a little bit of that, but mostly I just do stand up. And
he wrote Matt Rife's whole special.
Yeah, Matt Rife. Yeah.
Ooh, do you want
to? He
do
was it? Like, it was just she was an ugly waitress, and I was like, what if she was punching the face?
Yeah, you're
then?
Like, hey, yeah, listen, yeah. This could be.
Yeah, and it's not punching down because you got to punch up to punch somebody in the face. So you know what I mean.
Oh golly!
This could be way more misogynistic, Rich.
No, if you clip that right, you got me, bro.
Do you want to do a hot take on Matt Rife?
I've met Matt Rife.
He seems sweet.
Yeah, he was very. I shouldn't have said it like that. Do it. Let's do it again. Do that. And
do you have a hot take on Matt Rife?
Oh. I'll do one more.
Do you have a hot take on Matt Rife?
Matt who? Okay, sorry. No, but Matt, I met him. What I thought was really interesting about Matt was I met him at some like taping for like a special, quote unquote, like where a bunch of comics from Atlanta, but it was like for spec. So nobody got paid. Okay. The footage just like anytime you asked about it, nobody would reply to you. And then it ended up on Tubi like 2 years ago, right? It's one of those deals. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was on it for whatever reason and I had 5 minutes to burn. So I did the five I was willing to get rid of. Mm-hmm. And Matt was there, and Matt was taped. It was like we were taping like a showcase, and then Matt was doing like a headlining set. But they were going to package it all separate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was at Aurora Theater.
Aurora Theater,
and they were doing In the Heights at the time.
Oh,
so the background, the background of my stand-up is the In the Heights background. Oh. It's really cute, actually.
Oh, but that sounds magical. That'd be two of my favorite things coming together.
But I met Matt, and he was like, you know, he's been on a couple podcasts saying he doesn't like Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying that. Like, he never has a good set in Atlanta. But he only ever would do, like, Uptown and, like, ATL Comedy Theater and all that. So he basically was like, that night was like, if I never come back to Atlanta, it'll be too soon.
He was up.
And I swear it was, like, maybe a month or 2 months later, he was, like, on MTV. So he had been on Wild Now, but then he was on, like, an MTV, one of those, like, challenge-type shows where he was, like, competing. But then he like, had a special come out, and he's just been blowing up since then.
Yeah, I didn't know he was on Wild and Out.
I only know that anecdotally because he was on that challenge show, and I watched those shows.
Okay.
But is it anecdotally that I know that? I just know that. I don't know. I'm not, like, know a lot about him. But the special, I watched it. Most of it, I fast-forwarded through quite a bit. It's like, I mean, I don't know. It's like he is a wrestler, and he was a pretty boy, and now he's trying to turn heel. And so, like, pretty boy, his audience was all women, and it's crowd work, and they all, take your belt off or whatever. And then he's trying to turn heel because he wants guys to like him, and, I'm going to say outrageous shit or whatever. So it's not that he doesn't have jokes. It's just that you've almost heard all of those jokes in some capacity somewhere else.
It was a cliche.
Yeah.
Because I heard he just got famous because he's really good at crowd work. He got those clips. But a lot of his material is just like street jokes and
It's like Ralphie. It's like a Ralphie May joke, but he changed a little bit of it.
Yeah.
There's a joke that sounds just like a Bill Burr joke. They changed a little bit of it. There's a lot of that.
And I heard he doesn't like Atlanta because he does a lot of black people's jokes and materials, and he does black rooms, and then people there are just like, no, I've heard other comics do your shit better.
Right.
But yeah. I saw him interviewed on a podcast, and he said he wants the women to get to buy the tickets and come, but bring their boyfriends. At the beginning, the women are excited to see him, but at the end, the women don't like him, and the boyfriends who were upset to be there in the beginning now are leaning forward in their chairs.
And what comedian gets
him.
Off on that? Like, what's the point of that?
Oh, I think he's
like, why
right?
wouldn't you want the whole audience to like you? And you have jokes that, like, these jokes are for men, these jokes are for women. It's like, okay, now we're gonna have guy comedy and girl comedy, like girl lunch and girl dinner. And I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's very silly to me.
Well, sometimes girls like to get together with their gay friends and not have their husbands there. And so we have
also,
to have brunch.
Why do you not want women coming to your show? Like, that's where money is.
Yeah.
Women and gay people, if I could get less straight men to like my stuff and get more women and gay people, that's where money is. That's money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's the dumbest thing ever. I don't know anything about him. I don't really give a shit about crowd work comics.
Do you think he's cute?
I think he's made in a lab.
I think he's very handsome.
I think he looks like it's all aftermarket.
Do you think he's very handsome? Do you think he got? Yeah, I don't think he got work
done. I met him in person. And I thought he was. He looks very like teenagey androgynous to me.
I can admit he's
like it's like almost a feminine look to me. So it's not quite my speed.
I can admit that he's attractive, but it's the same as like watching a CW show where you're like, I don't really want to fuck any of these people because you all just look like you were
12.
Well, you all like they look young. Also, just like all of you are way too conventionally hot and attractive. Like, good for you.
He looks like the after in a Proactive commercial.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like my skin's finally clear. Now someone could do something about my fucked up lips and my weird jawline. Or...
yeah.
Wait, who's your celebrity crush?
Right now, it's the guy from
right now.
Well, I mean, it's you.
Yeah,
you know,
he changes.
Yeah, it shifts from time to time. My husband actually refers to him as his boyfriend. The Morgan Spector on, what's the name of the show? The Gilded Age. He plays like the robber baron.
Yes. Okay, I saw him with his shirt off for the first time last night on my Instagram when I should have been asleep.
Is he getting dressed for whatever?
No, he has an Instagram.
No, but there's one where he gets dressed to go to the opera and they show him like in his underwear, put all his clothes on.
He's got tattoos, the actor.
Yeah.
That dude's hot as hell.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
So he's currently...
I'm joining your club as of 12 a.m.
I'm obsessed with that show. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it.
I love it too. Yeah. And I was watching it by myself on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
The way you're supposed to.
No, Payne and I watch it in like Hal and everything. Christine Baranski's character says,
yes,
and Bertha.
She's so sassy.
I mean, there's a lot of like really catty lines in that show that make it really worthwhile.
They're drinking so much on the show, it inspires me to drink at home. And I accidentally drank a whole bottle of champagne by myself.
And I guess if you were trying to keep up with them, because they are always with...
They're holding... Yeah. I have the glasses. I have the crystal glasses. I'm like, well, why
did
not
you
I
watch? Did you watch Downton Abbey 2?
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of went backwards. Like, so I had never seen any of it. And then I watched the first season of Gilded Age. And then somebody was like, well, you know, it's the guy who did Gosford Park. And I was like, oh. And I watched Gosford Park. And then somebody was like, well, you know, Downton Abbey is just basically Gosford Park, but a series. And I was like, oh. Yeah.
I do feel like the way I think – I'm so glad I get to talk about this with somebody because none of the men in my family watch this. But it feels a little bit – the way in Gilded Age they're delivering the lines – and then pausing after each one, that everyone's a little bit autistic. Like, they're not making eye contact, and they'll say a very formal sentence with no eye contact, pause, and then another sentence. Like, the way they're talking, for me, it's a little affected.
Okay. But is that the staff talking to the rich people?
No, the rich people talking to
each other. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I haven't noticed that.
But maybe that's on purpose, a stylistic choice.
Say the word sentence again.
Sentence. I'm from upstate near mountain. My husband's name is Kitten. You'd like me to sew on a button.
Say, Whiskers on kittens and warm woolen
whiskers
mittens.
Whiskers on kittens and warm woolen mittens.
So you pronounce mittens and kittens, right?
Well, that's because I'm Julie Andrews now.
You don't
now.
Go mittens and kittens.
If I'm just speaking, it's there's no two T's together.
If you ever listen to the Mary J. Blige Christmas album, which I recommend, she sings a version of My Favorite Things.
Uh-huh.
And she says warm woolen mittens and mittens. Whiskers on kittens. And it's like the cutest. I mean, I'm just like, oh my God, I love it.
Right? No one in my friend group can say my husband. Name. It's like, how's Kitten doing? And we're in upstate New York. Yeah. It's not even southern. But yeah. We got the Kitten Mountain button.
Sentence.
I don't know.
Sentence.
Okay. White hats. Okay.
That's my celebrity crush, yes.
So, celebrity. Yeah, me too.
Right?
He's hot. And a part of it is his character's so metered and he never loses his temper. And I really like that in a human being. That's right? Like someone's.
When he goes behind his wife's back to like get stuff for her, like make things happen. I'm like,
yeah,
I live for that.
Yeah. I mean, who knows if the actor's actually like that at all.
I mean, that doesn't matter.
I wonder if he's throwing a dish at Christmas.
Not a Christmas dish.
Not a Christmas dish.
Have you done that?
I have never thrown a dish. Okay. When I get upset, some people when they get upset, they flare and they burn out. I burn in and I start crying and go to my room.
My mom's thrown the, like the Christmas roast in the trash one time.
That was
we
she
didn't
drunk?
Deserve it and blah, da, da, da.
You didn't I did throw my boyfriend's shoes out of a window at college because he didn't deserve to wear shoes. But I was like 19. Oh, good times. Okay, Mr. Ian Aber, what are you nerdy for?
What does that mean? Define nerdy.
What do you like? What do you get into? That's
I was asking Joel. I'm just kidding.
He's still looking at titties. He's still looking at fit titties.
Yeah. He's like, I'm just like,
he's still in the nipple, nipples. The numb nipples. Can you get a rum ripple at a numb nipple?
That sounds delicious.
I'm nerdy for. And I'm just gonna split hairs here for a second. I'm more of a geek than a nerd.
And what? How do you
nerds
define
are
the difference?
Smart about things. So like I consider people who are nerdy to be like when I was in high school and middle school, and they'd have like that trivia team. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. There was always a team of trivia people.
Those athletes,
Olympics, whatever.
Of the mind,
science Olympiad, all that kind of. And those are nerds. People who are get excited and enjoy knowing and learning. That's nerdiness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a geek. Mm-hmm. I like video games and movies and comic books and comedy. And I love soap operas. I'm obsessed with like serialized drama of any kind, except for when it's like my people I know, because then I could give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to know about your life.
Too messy.
So I think by the definition you're probably using, that I'm nerdy for all those things.
So, video
games. But I've always seen nerdiness as like a brainiac thing.
Like being able
and
to
I've never
learn
considered
it.
Myself to be that smart.
That's so, okay. This is, I can barely read. This is a loving circle.
God, I haven't read a book and I mean, I don't even
I can't read. You've gotten texts from me. You know what's happening. I have people in my family who love me and they're like, it's okay. I speak Amy when I text them and it doesn't make any sense. Video games, movies. Do you have the IMDb app? Do you pay extra for a membership to IMDb so you can like go deep on actors and things like that?
What is this pay extra you speak of?
I don't know, but that's what keeps popping
just
up on my phone.
Just assume if there's a pay extra option.
The pay extra options for like people that are in the industry and like producers and stuff. So you can get like access to contact information and other things that people choose to list on there.
No, definitely not.
When you're watching a movie.
I think I am on IMDb, though.
You are? Oh, dude, Dish.
I feel like I was mentioned in the credits of a movie that I donated to a GoFundMe.
So there's a producer.
And then I think that my episode of Queer Eye that I was on, that I'm credited.
Oh, yeah.
And then I did that Mike Rowell show where I played some Union soldier who invented, stew, I guess. I don't know.
Stew. I didn't realize the Union Army invented stew.
They masticated vegetables, dehydrated. Like, he basically wrote a cookbook of, like, how to cook for the infantry.
How to turn your saddle into a dinner.
Something like that.
After your horse got shot out from under you.
One other thing. Like, well, and I have that, if it ever comes out, that PBS documentary will be on.
That'd be fascinating. They came and shot at my house.
Did they?
Yeah.
How did that work?
Matthew, I think.
Oh, okay. They interviewed Matthew at your house.
We had a little show, and they came and got some footage.
Nice.
And sat in the front row, and they were good laughers.
Good. Yeah. That's awesome.
I do parlor comedy, where I put all the chairs in my front parlor, and we put up a little stage, what we used to.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
Oh, no? Why not?
Because I have shows now. Okay. And I think it was like during the, like a little bit right after the pandemic.
Oh, right on. Yeah,
everyone's desperate.
But yeah.
That's really cool. I don't have any IMDBs.
I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I don't think so. I'm not going to get booked rather, no matter what happens.
No one's ever
happens.
Come to me. Well, only on very rare occasions has anyone ever come up to me and gone, were you on Queer Eye? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was barely in the episode, so.
Lace was barely in it, but she was. It was fun. It was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
There was two of our Atlantic comedians.
Joe was in it, and he didn't do anything. Sorry, Joe.
I want to, like, I've been tempted to just start tweeting at like Karamo, because I really felt I rewatched the episode recently, and nothing against Karamo. Please clip clip this at him. I really felt like Karamo never got past the tough, chewy exterior that we all know Jogawa to be.
Yeah,
right. So he tried a little bit. I watched him be successful in what he does because he's like the emotional, almost empathic one. Are you familiar with Queer Eye?
The new one. I try to watch it. And I tried to watch it on the airplane, and then I kept crying on the airplane, so I had to stop watching it.
Okay.
It was very emotional.
But do you know who Karamo?
That's the big tall black man who's very handsome. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so Karamo is the one who is supposed to get like to the heart of the matter of why Joe still lives at home, doesn't have a girlfriend, has no career to speak of, doesn't have a lot of friends. Uh-huh. At the time. Now he's killing it now. But but Karamo... Well, you know my joke about it is that I'm on the episode where I suggest the straight guy for them to fix, and they tried their best, but they couldn't. And at the end of the episode, they had to put him down. So.
Oh,
I love you, Joe. But anyway, so Karamo, so I felt like Karamo didn't do his job on that episode.
He didn't break through.
Yeah. And so I almost want to tweet at, but we'll use this clip instead because no one's using X anymore anyways. But Karamo, come back and fix Joe. Below average Joe, it didn't take. You didn't do it all right. And while you're here, could you fix me too? Because I probably should have asked to be fixed as well. Thanks, Karamo. Hey, have me on your show. You have a show, Karamo.
Oh, does he have his own show now?
He has a show. Yeah, it's a talk show. I've never watched it.
Oh, it's a talk show.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Yeah. I just feel like you cannot put on your poster when you're like traveling as a comedian a little emblem, the logo of Netflix.
No.
Your IMDb.
No one saw me perform stand-up comedy. And I feel like that's the earmark of,
I have a don't hit the table sign.
Jesus.
Because people come on here with some strong hands.
This expensive $1 million home, and you have the cheapest fucking table that you can't even tap on.
It goes into the microphone.
I'm joking.
And
if people have earphones on,
it goes into their ears.
Do you usually wear earphones?
When I listen to podcasts, I do.
Not during filming.
Or taping.
He has earphones on. And I was like, why don't we get earphones?
I think he's listening to music. He's watching pornos of fake titties over there.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that on my... Well, I would... So I did the stand-up NBC audition thing.
Uh-huh.
I put NBC on there because it was such a... Like, they made such a big deal about, you were a national finalist or whatever.
Oh, that's
even though
good.
It didn't really mean that much in the end. But yeah, I'll put NBC on there just because.
Oh, when you're traveling and trying to sell tickets, how do you sell tickets?
Oh, God, if I told you, maybe it wouldn't work anymore.
Oh. I have a friend that advertises on Grindr.
I've done that. I've done there's one called Growler that you can do like a shout.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how big the city is and how many gay people, for like $20 you can reach like 1,000 people.
Wow.
And if 10 or 15 of those come and then your other marketing works, because I market kind of like a little bit here, a little bit there. I always contact like, if especially it's a small town, if there's like a pride page, I'll be like, hey, I'm coming to town. I don't know if you guys have a lot of gay acts come through, but I'm going to be here on this night, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those really only get you, you know, five to 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do four or five of those things, meetups, if you ever do meetup, Reddit, I do a lot of Reddit. I went to Fort Collins recently, not to brag, but Fort Collins.
Yeah, Comedy Loft.
Comedy Fort. Yep. And I did Surrogates, my show there, and I posted to the Fort Collins group, and I think it pulled, like, I probably got another 10 or 15 people out
of
that.
That's fantastic. Surrogates?
Surrogates is Have you never done surrogates? Surrogates is, so I haven't been doing it since the pandemic. And I'm just bringing it back.
But it was a great show.
Yeah, so it's a show where audience members get on stage and they do the stand-up comedy and they're wearing like headsets and they're being fed their stand-up comedy through a walkie-talkie and the comedians backstage in the green room
are telling them what to say.
Telling them what to say.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
And then sometimes the audience member is like the comedian's mother who doesn't approve of stand-up comedy. Never understood why they wanted to do it in the first place. Or it could be their ex or whatever. Yeah. So
that's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm obviously because of the pandemic I stopped doing it for a while. Mm-hmm. But you'll edit that out.
You okay over there?
I made you make some coffee before, so.
I had been doing it before the pandemic, and then obviously the idea of putting headsets on people's faces and whatnot just seemed very out of fashion.
Touching.
Yeah. And
germs.
So I feel like we're back now where nobody cares.
No one cares anymore. Amen.
I'm doing it in the hopes of getting it into festivals because my ultimate dream is to have it in somewhere where the audience member is doing stand-up comedy of a really famous comedian and they have no idea who it is until they start telling the jokes.
Like a reveal at the end?
Yeah, or that they finally, like the screen, that something happens where they say something or do something and they're like, oh my God, this is Bill Burr, or oh my God, this is Nate Bargatze, or oh my God, this is a famous female comedian. I can't think of one. Oh, Kathleen Madigan. I'm just like,
right? What if it's a white guy saying all like a black man's material with all of the paraphernalia, the words that go in that to that.
What word specifically?
I'm not quite
one in mind?
Sure. I think
I did have.
it's going to turn into a hate
one,
crime.
We did one where we had it was a black male comedian and white female comic, and he kept trying to get her to say the N word, obviously, and then she was like, "He's trying to get me to say the N word," and then you heard him screaming in the back of the room, "Say it, say it." Right? And then we had
tension.
One where it was a good friend of mine, Nathaniel, who is one of the guys in the, I can't remember, it's a gay man's chorus. I think they call it like One Voice now or something. But he sings and he came to the show and David Perdue was in the back and Nathaniel was on stage and they had talked for a second and David said, "What do you do?" And he goes, "Oh, I sing in the choir." Uh-huh. So David told him to sing the Black National Anthem. And you hear Nathaniel go, "I don't know what that is." And he goes, "It doesn't matter. Make it up." And so Nathaniel just starts singing like Obama, Obama. I don't even remember.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
But it was so funny. And there's a lot of that aspect of it too. We're like, and then we did one where it was Lace and Jared. Mm-hmm. And
they're married.
Yep. Lace Larrabee, Jared Harris. And they, he was on stage doing her set and she could hear that it wasn't going well. And so then she's like going, "Tell my fucking jokes right." And he goes, "I told it the way you wrote it and they didn't laugh at it, just like I didn't laugh at it when you told it to me the first time," or whatever.
Oh God.
And then but you could hear her in the back. So it was like, you couldn't hear exactly what you just could hear going, "Ah." And then he would say whatever. And it was, I mean, to say the audience was just, I mean, they were dying.
It sounds like so cool because it sounds like it's happening, like it's real, it's authentic, and it's not just canned.
Don't Say Sloan doing a Dan Weeksa. That was amazing. I had Dedrick do me and come out and like flirt with pain on one of them.
Yeah, I loved Circus. That was such a good show.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
But yeah, so I'm trying to bring that back, and that's what I was in Fort Collins for. And I'm sort of nerdy about that. The whole aspect of that show of like, because it came from the, I can't remember, Payne and I had a conversation one time, and he was like, "Oh, I would never do stand up. You know, because I'm of the fear, blah blah blah." And I said, "Well, you're thinking of the negatives. The payoff is when the sensation you get when you tell a joke and you get the laugh. That chemical reaction your body has to all, you know, the endorphins or whatever
it's
it is.
It's addictive.
It's addictive, and it cuts the fear. So you don't like once you get a laugh, you're not afraid anymore. Mm-hmm. And like especially like for me when I took the class and I did the set at the graduation, I was apprehensive that my material wasn't going to work at all. And the first laugh I got, I was like, "Oh," and that's what the surrogates person gets. They never have to write a joke. They don't have to learn delivery or timing. They literally just have to feed it to them right, they'll deliver it right. They'll get the laugh. And I watched a lady, a femme identifying, I don't know. But anyways, I watched this person last week, like it click in her head that she wants to do stand-up comedy. Like I could tell at the end when she talked to me, she was like, yeah, I think I'm going to give it a try because that was like...
So and you
I'm
ruined like, somebody's life.
Exactly. Exactly.
I hope she likes chicken fingers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't... At least I didn't encourage a man, okay?
That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. Yeah, you see a flannel... You see a bearded flannel white man walking down the road. You're like, sir, sir, we need more of you.
And I had paired her up with another woman comic, and at first the female comic was like, oh, I wanted a guy, da da da, and I explained to her, I was like, no, I think this is a person who wants to do it, and I don't want to put all the women with guys because then it's just going to be like that's going to be the joke, and it's like, let this person actually truly experience your material. Yeah. And it was like, it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I wish it wasn't the audience.
Because she was, the comic delivering was sort of deadpan, and whoever was doing her thing just like took that note, be deadpan, and just did it. It was beautiful to watch. It was such a beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Were you at a festival?
No, just I was there. I did it on Thursday, and then I stayed Friday and Saturday and I featured for Adam Caton Holland, who's out of Denver and really great guy, very, very sweet guy.
Oh, lovely.
Super funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
it was a good
great.
Time. I love Colorado. The love comedy Colorado in Denver too. And the outlying areas.
Yeah.
Next to Atlanta, that's my next favorite scene.
I lived in Boulder for 5 years.
Yeah. And I did that Sunday show. Yeah.
Did you? Yeah, I haven't gotten on there yet. But when I did one of the dairy arts in Boulder, we went to take our son to look at college. And I reached out. But I got to be on the same show with this guy, Eland, who...
Stripling?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was...
Lovely.
Lovely.
Very funny.
So funny. A nerd. I love a nerd.
Yeah.
And he
very
was...
Very smart. He's very smart.
Very smart. He's a fly fisherman, too. I met him at the North Carolina Comedy Festival. Yeah. We were on the same show in North Carolina. So it was kind of like, oh, it's finally happening. Or I'm like, oh, I'm meeting enough people that I'm running into them in different states.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really
are you
like
going,
that.
When you see them though, or?
Well, I do that. I hug everyone.
That's
you
fine.
Know, it's a little much. Yeah. I'm a little much. But I'm just happy. It's a small, I'm from a small town. I want everyone to know each other and have a snack and a hug. And if your barn burns down, we're going to come over and help you build a new one.
And maybe we can get to know each other well enough that we finish each other's sentences.
Sandwiches.
Sentences.
I did a frozen reference there. Sandwiches.
Oh yeah. Well,
it's in a song. It's fine. You don't have children. All right.
That you know.
That I. You know what? You're right. You might have one in every port.
A secret adult daughter just out there, planning to murder me at any time.
Oh, do you think it'll get dark fast?
Yeah. She's like, you could have raised me, but this is what you're doing with your life instead. You know, one of those.
You know, one of those secret daughters.
You know,
that wants to
one
kill
of those.
You.
I watch Young and the Restless every day. You know, one of those.
Oh yeah, so you like soap operas? We haven't had that. Let's talk about soap operas. And I don't know if you want to talk about this, but you were doing a sequel to Designing Women. You were writing.
Yeah, I stopped. I stopped working on that.
I think it'd be so cool.
It was like a modern reinterpretation of Designing Women. I should pick back up. Mm. I've been working on something that basically like the first half of next year I'm going to kind of devote all my time to.
Do you want to talk about it?
I don't know. I'm just writing another, I'm writing some more, like I'm writing one more sitcom. Uh-huh. I had an idea for a sitcom of like a, sort of like a, if a Trump-like president won and installed themselves as whatever.
A dictator?
Yeah, but it's like, he's like a celebrity, like, you know what I mean? So it's much more of a funny version of that than the apocalypse we're living into.
Okay.
And that everybody who's gay has to go, like, that we all have to take a pill to be straight.
To be straight.
And then we figure out how we reverse engineer the pill and we start making straight people gay, kind of. Yeah.
So, and everyone's gay.
Yeah. Well, everyone's nothing.
It's Midtown.
They just keep like giving you a pill, giving you another pill, giving you a pill, another pill. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uppers and downers like
so
Judy Garland.
That's the general idea. It's like a sort of a, what if the Handmaid's Tale was funny?
Okay. Yeah. So it's like apocalyptic.
Yeah. A lot of people are watching Handmaid's Tale and be like, ah, God, this is so close to a knee slapper.
Right? What if it was like a, yeah. But it's like The Handmaid's Tale, but it's more of like a workplace
yeah,
comedy.
Yeah, yeah, I love all the, I love, The Office. Yeah, I love all the forced pregnancy and rape in this, but I just need a little bit jokes with it.
Yeah, exactly.
A little punchline.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to be there. So after,
I mean,
in 10 years after The Handmaid, or 5 years after The Handmaid's Tale finished, and we've all just stated that, and the world's got even worse than it is, something like this will seem real funny.
I think that
I don't have a working title, but that's a general idea. I've been writing little vignettes inside of that. I have a handful of characters, and I've written these, like, it could almost be a collection of short stories, honestly, and not even be a, because I've also been contemplating that, because I love, like, here's something I guess I'm nerdy about, is that I grew up reading a lot of, like, anthology, short story, science fiction. Like, lots of it. Lots of Ray Bradbury, lots of Arthur C. Clarke, lots of that kind of, and I've contemplated, like, I reread The Illustrated Man, like, during the pandemic. It's actually the last book I read. I reread all of them.
The Illustrated Man?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's like a Ray Bradbury collection of short stories. Okay. It was one we read in, it was like in our assigned reading list when I went to school in South Carolina.
What was it about?
It's like a bunch of short stories. And then it's loosely, there's a guy, like a drifter who's works at a circus or something, and there's a guy who has the tattooed man, and he they drink, and the tattooed man falls asleep, and the narrator looks at the tattoos, and the tattoos start moving, and telling stories, et cetera, et cetera.
That's kind of cool. I was gonna say they come off of his body and start running around, and
not the version I'm familiar with. Yeah,
I was just in my imagination. That's where.
Well,
it was
there is a
go.
Tattooed man, like in DC Comics, that's what his powers are.
Oh.
He has a tattoo of an eagle, and then an eagle will fly out of his titty or whatever.
Oh. Well, eagle titty.
Yeah. That's his other name.
That's my friend with the cancer. That's what we call her, eagle titty. But she's from Japan. They have crazy names there.
You definitely edit that out.
Amy, man, this is...
Aki! That's her name, is Aki.
The best thing...
Is it really?
Yes.
The best thing Amy ever...
Like Asian fans in the background.
These are those are actually from Kyoto. They are not a
and cut
geiko, okay. A geiko, not a geisha. A geiko in Kyoto, they're called a geiko.
The best thing Amy ever said was like, "What are those metal boxes like the tornado magnet things?" And she was like, "Oh yeah, trailers."
I can't remember the word trailer. I have brain fog. I'm in perimenopause. Yeah, I'm the victim here. No racism, Amy, is what Ian just wrote down on my piece of paper. You can't come into my costume chamber and tell me how to act. Yes, you can. I love you.
But yeah, I had an idea for the Designing Women. I wanted to make it was a gay couple. And that,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yes. So it was, instead of it being the sisters, it'd be a gay couple. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of reimagine all the characters.
And then like all the carpenters are lesbians.
A little bit.
That'd be funny.
I had it where the Suzanne Sugarbaker character was a... it was an influencing account on like Instagram, and it was like a white debutante, but then it turns out to be a black woman who runs it. But it makes them money. I'm pretty much done with it. I wrote one draft of it. I showed it to one person who never got back to me.
Are you going to send it out more?
Maybe so. I get discouraged really. Like when you don't get good notes, or you finally do ask somebody to give you notes and then they just never reply.
That's everybody.
I've had that happen a couple times.
Everyone's so busy.
I guess. This was during the pandemic when nobody had anything to do.
Well, maybe they were sad.
But I did. I have like a TV friend, writer friend, and he just didn't get back to you.
Did it go to the wrong email box? Did he accidentally delete it?
I'm
going
to do a stage reading, though. I have this one that I have three done. One of them is about like a gay couple that it's like a May, December. So it's like older, younger. And their mothers both move back in, and the mother's the same age as the husband, all that kind of. And they decide they want to adopt a baby, and the mothers are like, "No, we're not having that." So it's a little regressive in tone because it's very much of like anti-gay adoption.
I wonder though, is it because they don't want to have to like be the grandmas? They're like
basically, well, they don't want their children. They don't want them together, so they're trying to break up the.
You heard it
the
here couple. First, Ian Abers against gay adoption.
Right? At least, at least like.
Does Payne know?
In a, like in a single cam sitcom environment, I am. And then I did one that was called Gone Tomorrow. And it's like a cancer support group of all these people who have terminal cancer. And they at first start trying to get help each other achieve their bucket lists. But then it turns into they help each other get revenge on people in their lives.
This is brilliant.
This is brilliant.
That one's the one I was the most excited about. That was the one where I sent it to people I knew.
That's fascinating.
I didn't get very much feedback. But I'm going to do a stage. I'm working with getting it set up so I can do a stage reading of it somewhere.
That's really great. Yeah.
So like January, February, I'm going to do that.
What are some of the bucket list things that were in the script?
It became about revenge. So it was like they bust up it. Is it Ruina? They bust up a wedding is like how, so like,
ooh.
Someone's invited to their ex's wedding.
That's fine.
And they show up with eight people because that's like, I mean, how to ruin a wedding is like, I'm here with plus seven. And then they try to accommodate them. And then throughout the wedding, they just keep disrupting. And finally there's a big passive confrontation. Aggressive. Yeah, exactly. Like they're doing little dumb stuff because they don't really know how to get revenge because they're not those kind of people.
Normal people.
Yeah, exactly. And then the whole thing with that series is that the characters keep dying off and they keep getting replaced with other people. And it's the person running the group is the only main character. Mm. And you just keep swapping out all these different characters. Mm. But they all inhabit the comedic archetypes. So as you kill off a rebel, you replace them with another rebel or whatever.
Yeah.
So I only wrote one episode. It was like a... I took Katie Hughes' sitcom writing class actually during the pandemic and did it.
Yeah. That reminds me of the TV show Quantum Leap.
Okay.
Did you watch that? This guy, mm-hmm. this doctor's like stuck in some sort of vortex where he keeps getting pulled into different timelines and
Old
he
Scott
has to
Bakula.
Fix yep. something before he's allowed to move
is
on.
Is a Scott Bakula vehicle?
A Scott Bakula? I don't know what that is. But this is the opposite. Like maybe like instead of fixing it, they're going to ruin it a little.
Maybe. It doesn't have a science fiction element.
Yeah, but like it's like he goes and like, okay, here's the bad guy, here's the good person. Is it switched?
Well, that's sort of how it turned out in the pilot I wrote was that the person that they were getting revenge on really wasn't quite so evil, and maybe
the person who was dying from cancer
was exaggerating a little bit, and yeah, one of those kind of things. Exactly.
I wonder if it had too much death in it for Americans to be like, oh, we can't have everyone dying every week.
Well, I got some notes, and the notes were that I needed more medical. Like, you needed to know what everybody had and how long they had and all that kind of stuff. So I don't really know a lot about that. So kind of like that note
was
like
a... That was their note?
Well, they were like, make it more real. Like, because I was like... Like, it's like, here's the setup. They all have cancer.
Yeah.
And then basically the rest of the pilot... doesn't address that in any way other than their meeting.
And everyone's walking around fine. And
well,
not
necessarily. You do kind of get elements of that they're sick or one of them's in a wheelchair, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah, one of them has hair one day
and then
not
one
the
of
next.
Them, like, they have an attendant and the attendant almost ruins everything because they're like, mm-hmm. you know, they're only being paid $15 an hour to take this person back
one
and forth.
One of them had breast cancer and now she has no sensation in her nipples.
Nipples, yeah, exactly. There's a whole episode about the nipples and getting revenge on the man who took her sensation away from her nipples. Because the only way she can come is if they're sucked on. Yeah, it's a whole, that's episode two.
That's what I've been writing over here this clamps. Whole time.
The pilot episode two? All right. Yeah. You got me a spec script?
It's called Nipple Clamps. That's the name of the pilot.
That's her name. Her last name is Clamps. It's Vera Clamps, but they call it old Nipple Clamps.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Have you heard about this TV show, The Swedish Art of Death Cleaning? Mm-mm. Amy Poehler narrates it, and it's on Paramount, and people go into your house, and there's, like, a therapist, like, an organization specialist, and, like, a decorator. I haven't seen it. I just heard about it, and, like, people are older, and they just get rid of all your stuff for you, so when you die, you're not a burden.
Oh, God.
But the way that they're presenting it is that it's like, okay, let's, like, celebrate your life. Let's put the things up about your amazing life, and these people have had amazing lives.
Yeah.
And... I haven't watched it. I'm interested, but like to have death in the title of something that goes on regular television is pretty rough for Americans. We're not good at it, but the Swedes are fine. Like, just get on the iceberg.
Right.
Bye, Grandpa, I guess. I don't know.
Man, I can't imagine, like, because my mom has a house. My father passed earlier this year, and she has a house down in Melbourne filled with all of her
stuff,
artifacts and whatnot. And the notion of moving her anywhere, or her losing
any of
even
it.
One little bobby pin, Do you know what I mean? It's like,
I think the older you get, the more you hold on to things because it triggers a memory.
Yeah.
And the oldest memories are the last to go.
Yeah.
And you need these physical reminders. Well, it's like if
you
don't have
that thing, you will never remember it. Something like that, yeah.
We moved my grandmother from her home to a, quote unquote, the home. And she couldn't do emails anymore. She couldn't use her phone. All of her muscle memory from being in her space that she was used to was gone. And it affected every aspect of her life. And then she died. Like, you don't know what people, like the way the brain works. Like, you just got to keep them in their space with their shit and make them happy and hopefully hire an attendant that doesn't rape them or whatever. Or, you know what? Steal all the stuff. Sell it on eBay. Sell grandma's stuff on eBay. If you're taking care of her, if you're changing her diapers, you get all of her stuff. Less rape, Amy. Okay, that's a good note. I'll take that one.
In her defense.
No hard R.
In her defense, she did say that we're hoping the attendant doesn't rape grandma.
She's creating the reality. It could be that rape's not even on the table. Do you know what I'm saying? Have any of you noticed, though, on TikTok, they refer to rape as grape? Have you heard this?
Yeah.
We can't clip this, obviously, because you have to bleep out all the rapes.
Because they, unaliving yourself as well is what they say instead
of suiciding.
Right? Yeah, so, because you don't want the algorithm to be like, well, this is too sad.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, I just thought.
On that note, on the less rape Amy note, you're always giving me good advice.
Less talk about.
Could you imagine if I didn't provide notes every time we had an interaction? How weird would that be?
Oh, I love it. Okay, we're going to find out what kind of nerd you are, although I already kind of have an idea. We're going to ask you a series of questions.
Okay.
Star Wars or Star Trek? Or both for you?
For what?
For like your number one ride or die.
Describe how I'm consuming it.
What do you prefer?
Like, which one do you know more about?
How do you mean?
Like, are you like, that's not canon?
Yeah, go ahead, write down pretentious nerd here.
No, I don't know, but I'm not that kind of nerd. I don't know. I know, like, I know that, like, when Whoopi Goldberg was on Star Trek Next Generation and Q, like, for the first time she meets Q, this is the first time you realize that she's not just, like, a regular humanoid, that she's, like, a special thousands of year old creature, but she meets Q and she goes, but I don't know what her character would be named or what planet she's from.
But it's burned on your brain.
Yeah. So I know.
That's burned on your brain. Do you have anything from Star Wars that's burned on your brain?
If I'm going to say today, I like Star Trek better because of Star Trek Lower Decks. Which shout out to Garrick Bernard who writes on that. He used to come to Atlanta.
Lower Decks? Is it like
it's a cartoon.
It's like the yacht people? But
sort of. It's like we see Star Trek, we see all of like the captains and the people in charge of everything.
Right.
And Lower Decks is all about the ensigns and the helpers.
Silly? Is it funny?
Yes. It's very funny. Yeah. But it's also canon. It's also
canon. Are they all hooking up? Is it like?
Not really.
So it's not like the people on.
No, it's not a Bravo show. It's still
It's still real.
And there's still some horniness in Star Trek, but it's not. It's not like soap opera drama.
Let me tell you. Here's what I like both of those because the sci-fi I don't like specifically is Dune. And the reason I don't like Dune is because you never see anybody just having like a regular day on Dune or at Dune or in the Dune universe. No one just goes and like parties and has a good time. But like inside of Star Wars and Star Trek, people are at cantinas and bars and they have holograph decks to, do all their jerk off fantasies in. But in Dune, it's just like folding space and getting spice and kill. And nobody ever has. So I like both of those just fine then.
Okay.
So what we're going to say, yes, Dune, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you watch the new Dune that came out? I had to watch it because I live in a house full of nerd men.
Yeah.
And
did anybody look like they had any fun at all?
No fun
at
all.
Even for a second?
Everyone's
in the
sad.
Whole movie. How long is that movie? Like 3 hours?
It makes your tummy hurt the entire time.
Nobody even like licked like a lollipop, like a lick, and then like explosions. Like nobody has any good time.
No, yeah. Your tummy's just in a knot the whole time. And then it's a cliffhanger.
I've seen like the David Lynch Dune probably like 20 times. And I've read all the books.
And you've read all the books.
And nobody has any fun ever at all. even for a second.
Drama, drama, drama.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. I just, the main thing I remember about David Lynch Dune is how much inner monologue there is.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 70% inner monologue, and then just the...
That long exposition speech and then of just, the floating woman head in space.
Yeah, and then just the, whenever he keeps remembering, like, the tooth, the tooth, the tooth. That's that. Oh, that's what I really picked up.
Fear is the mind killer.
Yeah,
no idea what you guys are talking about, but I'm glad you're having a good time together. Okay, this is like what it's like when I have dinner with my family.
Right,
like the boys are all talking, and I don't know what's
next
happening.
Next question:
have you ever LARPed or cosplayed?
I've never LARPed. Well, I did work at the Renaissance Festival for 2 years.
Oh,
but I managed the apple dumpling booth, which I don't feel like is historically accurate. We had ovens and. Like heaters for our caramel sauces and whatnot.
Okay.
And most of that job was battling the ants of the region from getting into the apple dumplings.
Did you say huzzah while you were there?
Not if I could help it.
That's one of the questions on here.
But that's also, that's for work though, if you did.
Yeah.
It was inspired.
And I was there mostly for the drugs. The drugs were,
you're doing drugs at the Ren Fair?
Well, we would buy all of our drugs for the summer. Because it was like all those people traveled from everywhere.
And they brought their drugs.
And you're surprised that people did drugs that worked at the Renaissance Fair?
Yes, I thought it was good, clean fun.
No, everything, like majority of everything like nerdy and geeky and shit like that is all so much drugs.
That's sex.
I got so much into smoking weed because of LARPing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. My head's exploding. So I had no idea.
I have cosplayed. At Dragon Con, I've dressed up a couple times over the years.
Yes, that's one of the questions. Have you been to Dragon Con sober?
Sure. The first Dragon Con I ever went to was just that guy molesting us for comic books in a hotel room. So
wait, what?
Anyone who knows Dragon Con knows that's a great joke. But anyways, the first one, it was just him, you know. I went to Dragon Con like right out of high school. So I went when it was just in the basement of the Hilton. You know where they do the Hall of Nobodies? Mm-hmm. That was all of Dragon Con was the first.
I think
years.
You're a nerd for Dragon Con.
I haven't been in a few years though. It's too much of a party.
Do you know why he has the lightning bolt on all of his shirts?
Yeah.
Well, I know you have a lightning bolt right now of a pizza.
But the original lightning bolt.
The original lightning bolt.
When I first started, when did I tell you that story? That's funny.
I've just known you for years. And stand up.
So when I first started stand up, one of the hardest parts was figuring out what I was going to wear, mm-hmm. right? So I decided on a uniform.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually, it's so funny because it's Michael Kors. He always wears black. And I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the Michael Kors thing. But I had a black t-shirt with a red lightning bolt on it. And for whatever reason, when I ordered it, they sent me 5 of them.
Okay.
So for the first however many years, like even 4 or 5 years, I only wore one of those 5 shirts. I very rarely wear something else.
Uh-huh.
And then they're also ratty now, and plus I've gotten fatter or whatever.
Right, preach.
And they were Flash. It was a Flash shirt.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah,
now that's part of your brand.
I'm definitely deeply nervous.
That's what I'm saying. It's the Flash from DC Comics. Yeah. Like those are all. That's the lightning bolt.
It felt comic booky to me, but I felt like you took it as your own.
I branched out.
You branched and you branded it towards you. You're like this.
I'm like Madonna, just reinventing myself over and over.
Well, luckily it's not cultural appropriation.
And now I just wear whatever. I mostly wear lightning bolt shirts, but it doesn't matter anymore. It used to matter. It used to be like
all of your.
I was in uniform when I would put the lightning bolt shirt on.
Your headshots are
pretty much
have a lot of lightning bolts in them.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any like card collections, baseball?
Just my husband's credit cards, sweetie.
Ayo. Shout out Payne.
No.
Ever been to a Rush concert?
Is that the one? Today's Tom Sawyer. Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Do you do video gaming?
Do you video game? Do you do video game?
Do you do the video game?
Do you video game, darling? Do you do video game?
I do video game, sweetie. What's the longest sitting you've ever done?
Longest sitting? Is that how it's measured?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a restaurant, like a seating?
Yeah.
I've played for probably like for around 24 hours.
Okay. Yeah. A 24-hour video game sesh.
One of the Fallouts came out. And I sat there and smoked pot and maybe ate an Adderall and stayed up all night and played.
Can you relate, Joel?
Yeah,
I cannot. But that's good for you all.
It's fun.
I would have a hemorrhoid the size of this table.
What's so funny, though, is like it's all like killing things and running errands.
Yeah.
And I never run errands in real life.
only the killing.
Yeah, I guess I'd be good at killing things.
Yeah, I pulled a muscle in my back from playing video games too long. Because if you just sit there and don't move, the sciatic nerve?
The sciatica.
I fucked up my sciatica, and so for the longest time, if I was going to do a long gaming session, I had to stretch it out beforehand and take like breaks every couple hours to stretch.
Because you're an athlete.
Yeah,
I stopped playing for months at a time because my hand. Because my hands will hurt. Yeah. So like I haven't played since probably like July.
Okay.
But I was going through a phase where I was playing every day for like 2 or 3 hours.
Do you play
hours.
With your husband?
Mm-mm. He doesn't really. He plays Grand Theft Auto, and that's really the only game he plays.
You guys played it together, though?
No.
No, separate. Okay.
I don't think you can play it together.
Boys are weird.
You can do online multiplayer, but not same console multiplayer.
I do a lot of online multiplayer, but I don't have my head. So I play online multiplayer with a bunch of people I don't know, and I never talk to them. Because, like, you can do that. I just don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, so the games I play, I'm usually the silent
The silent
person.
Murderer. Yeah, yeah. Are
I
you?
I get kicked out of stuff a lot because they're, like, trying to tell me something. They're just, like, we know you have a headset, and I'm just don't want to talk. I don't want to.
You don't want
to
talk. You talk all
I don't
all
like
day.
To hear the background noise of anybody else's house. It really irritates the fuck out of me. And that's a lot of times you'll hear, like,
people yelling.
You're playing with somebody and you just hear a baby crying in the background. It's like,
go pick up the baby.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Or like, can you get somebody to pick up the baby? Or whatever?
That would be very
people
upsetting.
Would get mad at me because then I would, whenever, whenever I used to play a lot more online games, I would like play during the day because I'm freelance. And then so I'd be with people that are like, we're all serious about this. And then they're like, are you smoking pot? I can hear it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 2 p.m. on a Tuesday and I don't got work today. I'm playing Destiny. Why would I not be getting ripped high? And they're like, we got to be serious about this.
Man, I love to play. I played Destiny for a long time. That was one where I would get kicked out a lot because I wouldn't have I wouldn't have a headset. Because that'd be one where they'd have to tell you on the fly. Like, you have to be in the exact right
especially
spot.
Especially once you start getting to the high level stuff,
I'm just glad
that... I like any game where you can fly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad that there's men out there connecting, but not connecting, but connecting. Yeah. You know what I mean?
There is some people that that are getting, like, actual genuine connection and friendships and bonding. But then some people take it too seriously.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend that still plays World of Warcraft. And, like, he talks about, like, how, like, they have, like, a little Discord server. And the guy who's in charge of everything would be like, hey, guys, I know it's 420 today, but this raid's really serious. So please no drinking or smoking before or during, because I really want to make sure we get the blah, blah, blah. And I would be like, I would tell that man to shut his bitch mouth because we're playing a video game.
Shut his bitch mouth.
Are we doing, is this like tournament style where there's money on the line? No? Well, then shut up. This is a recreational
This is all
thing.
He has to live for. Stop stumping on his dreams. And his parents are probably alcoholics and doing drugs.
Have you ever played a video game?
No, like Pac-Man, Lady Pac-Man. I've never played a real video game.
So how do you know you wouldn't enjoy it?
I might, but they kind of get me car sick. They're so real now. Like, have you ever done VR?
You should.
I got car sick doing VR.
You would get into the ones.
Really throw up or?
No, I just got dizzy. I had to get like. Gotcha.
You would get into the cozy ones that are like you get to build a house and you get to design all the rooms.
I've done stuff like a Minecraft a little bit, but it was.
There's nicer looking aesthetic ones where it's like it's just about like walk across town to do this task. You get fake in game money, then you get to go buy like here's all the new swaths you get to use to decorate
that's
your furniture.
That's literally my house. That's my life.
Yeah.
I can go in my car and go buy stuff and put it in my and decorate my house.
Well, that's why you don't need video games, Amy.
Oh. Is it for poor people?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
For people that don't just get
Are you going to write it down? Don't shame people for being
okay.
poor.
She loves shaming the poor.
I don't care that.
She I'm loves teasing. Being disconnected.
I love everyone and I know what it's like to be on a budget. It's just been a minute.
Right?
Oh, that's relatable. Okay, let's ask you some more questions.
So rich.
Do you have a pair of fairy wings?
How rich? No. You ask me that because I'm gay?
No, I ask everyone. Do you have a cape?
Okay. Do I have a cape?
Yeah.
Just one?
Yeah, do you have a bunch of capes?
I have several capes.
That's,
And robes. Yes.
Fantastic.
A lot of people got capes, though.
Yeah, it's surprising.
I have store-bought or homemade?
Both.
Ooh.
I have like two store bought, and then Pain has made me a cape.
Pain has made you. Pain that used to sew for is a while. Love language.
Yeah.
Pain.
Well, he
sewed
made himself
you.
A cape too.
Do you
He's
have matching
like
capes?
Yeah.
Does it have a lightning bolt on it?
No.
Yours or hit? No.
Why would it have a lightning bolt?
Because he branded it for you.
No.
Okay. What was it for?
That's not a stage.
It was
cape.
For 1 year. He and I both dressed up as Princess Leia for Dragon Con, and then 1 year we dressed up as. I can't remember.
Did
some kind of like Jedi something.
Did you still have beards?
Mm-hmm.
bearded Princess Leia. So yeah. Princess Leia, it was like perimenopausal Princess Leia.
It was like the dude from Big Lebowski dressed up as Princess Leia. That's sort of the vibe of the outfit.
I learned at Dragon Con, that's part of it, is to take two different movies and mesh them together in your outfit.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's...
You taught me that, Joel. Yeah.
If you can't dress canon, if you can't look just like the character...
He just said canon.
Then you might as well...
That's literally...
Mashup ones are fun as hell, too.
Mashups, that's what they're called.
Well, because, it's just fun to see, like, what people are putting together and doing.
So canon is one of the words, like, have you ever said canon is one of the words on my nerd list.
Yeah, Diane Cannon.
Oh. That's the gay list. Okay, have you ever been stuffed in a locker?
No.
Do you have a perfect attendance award?
No.
Do you know all the words to a musical?
Just one?
Do you know the words
no,
to
I don't,
multiple
probably.
Musicals?
I can't, let me think of one musical that I think I know all the words to.
Okay.
Nope.
Oh, how about,
I know the words to a lot of songs from musicals.
Okay, yeah. I'll allow it. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever held a tropical bird?
What do you mean, like on my arm?
Yeah.
Or hold. When you say hold, I think you mean like this.
Oh, yeah.
Who the fuck would do that?
Well, if it was like wrapped in a blanket because it was sick, maybe.
Have I ever held a sick bird?
No, that's not the question.
Is that a rich people thing?
Don't change the questions.
Okay. No. I've had like a bird put on my arm when I was a kid.
And had a picture.
And yeah.
Okay. Have you ever held a ferret?
No.
No. Okay.
I've been in the house with a ferret before.
Oh, whose ferret?
My friend Emmanuel had a ferret.
Okay.
And he said he had it de-scented. It didn't take.
Did it?
It did not take.
A musk?
It smelled like piss.
Glands?
It just smelled like piss.
Ew.
And then they're like, do you want to hold the ferret? I'm like, the one that smells like piss? No. I'm good.
Do you like to hold babies? Because they smell bad sometimes too.
No. I would prefer never to hold a baby if I could possibly manage it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But occasionally people hand you the baby and you can't be like, no, I don't want to touch that. Just, you know what I mean? Yeah, you can't be like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, that one didn't bounce.
I liked holding my nieces and nephews when they were babies. Oh, every other baby, not interested.
Are you into Legos?
Holding them?
Yeah, what if I gave you a Lego baby?
Lego baby. Lego my baby.
Lego my baby.
No, but Payne loves them.
Does he? Does he have the Death Star?
I don't think so. That's I did buy him recently. I bought him... They have bouquets of flowers that are Lego.
Yes.
And I bought him a couple of those, and he really enjoyed those.
Is he going to like put them together and put them on the sideboard?
They're literally on our dining room table.
Your dining room table. Yeah.
They are coming with a lot of Lego sets that are like, that look...
He's a nerd.
They look very realistic, and it's like way more like adult-oriented, where it's like you wouldn't tell by looking that they are
like
Lego.
One's an orchid, and one's like a bouquet of like spring flowers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
you'd like it. If you saw it, you'd be like,
I've seen
okay.
it.
Yeah. They're cute.
It's cute. And I like
from
that
far away, you can't tell either. Like, Payne's mom was like, how y'all keeping that orchid alive? Because that's how she talked. She's like, how y'all keeping that orchid alive? And I was like, well, we shouted as much as possible.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, is it plastic? Or whatever.
How's your mom talk?
My mom talks like, oh, Ian, I need some more cookies downstairs.
That's right. She's from the South.
She's from Chile.
Chile. That's right. South America.
I don't like walking up your staircase any day now. I'm just going to go blah, 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 blah. That's how she talks.
Make less stairs to your space. Do you have a coin collection?
No.
Have you ever held a sword?
I mean, paints coins.
Have you ever held a sword?
A sword?
Yeah.
There was like a battle saber in my house from the Civil War.
Oh.
That was
from the South,
from the Union side.
Oh, the Union side.
Yes, my father
twist.
Came from Pittsburgh.
Oh.
That I had held at one time or another, yes.
Oh.
But not like in a, I'm in a,
You're not, like you weren't like visiting a guy's house and he was like, let me show you my sword.
I mean, I've had a drug dealer that has a sword collection, but I never held any of those either.
Oh.
Like when people are like, do you want to hold this gun or do you want to hold this sword or do you want to hold this baby? I'm always like, I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah.
Has someone offered their gun to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, wait.
People always like,
What's happening?
Don't know why. And I think it's after I came out as gay, all the like really kind of conservative straight people I knew, anytime that there was like a where we were outside somewhere or whatever, they would shoot guns and they'd, oh, let's Ian shoot the gun, Ian hold the gun.
Oh,
and I never would because I don't have any interest. And then Payne finally made me go to the shooting range with him one time.
Does Payne have guns?
Payne has some guns. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Legos. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, yeah. He's living a full life.
I don't
think
those are mutually exclusive. I know so many people that are into gun and Lego.
Right.
I've held a gun. I've never shot a gun. They seem terrifying to me.
Yeah. I shot once, like the pow-pow.
I would go to a shooting range with somebody, but I don't...
Scary.
I would, yeah, that sounds terrifying.
How often do you go as a... Okay, as a man of the South, gay or straight... How often?
Makes me sound like a Disney movie. You, Song of the South. How many times do you sing Zippity Doo Dah?
How often when you're hanging out with your guy, get your guy pals, they're like, let's go shoot our guns. Is it once a week, once a month,
me?
Once a quarter?
Oh, I don't know.
In like, general.
You're asking the wrong demographic of men.
But I know people
here.
Who have guns, and usually they're shooting probably like, I would say at least once a month.
Once a month.
But and if they're really into guns, like they have like a bunch and that they're the new gun just came out and, have you tried the hollow tip bullets and all that shit? Then you're going like a couple times a month.
To the shooting range. They're not like just going
to
the backyard.
Well, the gun range, I called it the shooting gallery and I got in all kinds of trouble.
Also, it depends on where you live because I had a, he's a.
It's like, how do I hold this martini and shoot this gun?
he's a bad person, but my uncle, He would just like he lived in the middle of like rural Chattanooga, so he would literally just sit on his back porch and then have a target in his backyard and shoot. But like no one lived around him for a few like you know half mile or so.
Yeah.
So he would just shoot guns on his back porch.
I think if you're supposed to do it properly, you're supposed to get a big mound of earth and then put the target thing on the mound of earth, so the
gun
bullet
will go into
the mound of earth and not into your neighbor's horse or whatever's out over there.
Yeah.
Those whores.
The whores.
They had it coming.
They had it coming. Have you ever framed a puzzle?
Okay, I might know all the words to that musical.
Hey, Chicago.
I might. No, I always skip Mr. Cellophane. I don't know that one. Do you know what I'm talking about? I always skip
Mr. Cellophane should have been my name.
I
know that, all of it.
Yeah.
Have you ever framed a puzzle?
For what? Like murder? No, I haven't. I've never done a puzzle either.
Oh, mm-mm. That's where you draw the line.
Well, yeah. I think someone bought me a puzzle as a child. And I was like,
you put your own stuff back together.
Yeah, you're just trying to waste my fucking time with this shit. I didn't say that. I said, thank
Look,
you.
Look, I can see the picture
thank
on
you.
The box.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
Done.
I said, thank you so much for this grandmama, and then I threw it in the trash.
Have you ever been to camp?
Camp?
Like
no.
Space camp,
uh-uh.
Riding camp?
No. I didn't grow up rich, so I've never been to a camp.
Well, the poor people are sent to
church camp. I wasn't poor enough. No, I did go to vacation Bible school. Does that count?
Yes. Yes.
Well, no, but you don't. You go home
you go,
at the
say
end.
Yes during the
yeah.
day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you learn about Jesus? Do you know about religions?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. I think that was a Lutheran vacation
Bible
about school.
Religions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
a lot
I think that
of
was
kids...
a Lutheran one, and I remember my mom saying, don't pick up any of their little habits. And I was like, I thought habits were more of a Catholic thing.
Hey.
I feel like there's a lot of pretending or not, like pretending to be a certain religion just to get kids through camp and school and whatnot. Like, just...
Well, my parents went to church. My dad barely ever went. He'd go on holidays. And my mom took us until like... I was confirmed, and then she was like, you're on your own now. Make your own choices.
It's between you and Jesus.
And then in seventh grade, I secretly went to a Methodist like youth group, and she caught me and was like, my son won't be a Methodist. And I remember when I came out as gay, I was like, hey, remember the Methodist thing? Doesn't seem like such a big deal anymore, does it?
Was your mom okay with it?
Well, no, she wasn't okay with me being gay. But the Methodist thing, I didn't want to be a Methodist. They just had Doritos. So I would just go and eat the Doritos and drink their Mountain Dew, listen to them talk about their Protestant ways.
I went to a lock-in at a church, but it was just like something to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't drink until I went to college. So you got to stay busy, you know, hanging out.
I
with
think
kids.
All those Methodists were fingering. I just didn't
for
get
sure.
I didn't get in on the game.
Oh,
you put a bunch of teenagers together.
I didn't get fingered.
Some got fingered there.
Of course, we were living in South Carolina. It was just humid. So I don't know if there was finger going on or it was just humid that day.
Just humid. Have you ever been like had a goth phase or like wearing a costume for a long time?
No, not really.
Okay.
I had some goth friends and I had a bad haircut or two and I dyed my hair black one time by... accident, really.
Wait, how did you dye your hair black on accident?
I listened to a lot of Joy Division and New Order and all that and Bauhaus.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think I was ever really truly goth. If I was goth, I was goth for like a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, this look is too much to maintain.
It's a lot. I mean,
I'm not wearing eyeliner. It's,
have you tried?
It's October or it's August in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I'm not wearing.
You're not eyeliner. Wearing yeah. eyeliner. You know how hard it is.
My foundation keeps melting off.
It's so hard to put eyeliner on. And I had surgery on my elbow, so I had to put eyeliner on with my left hand.
Yeah.
And I looked like a pretty girl.
Is that what she did today?
No, is it dripping okay. down
Jesus
my face?
Christ.
It already was. So, yeah, this is like what. So okay. you're supposed to practice using your left and your right hand, mm-hmm. your non-dominant hand. So when you have a stroke, you can right. still put your eyeliner on.
Yeah, because that's the most important thing after you have a stroke. Because you gotta still look beautiful.
Still
for
have
society,
to look beautiful.
Right?
Do you like Jeopardy?
The show or just people being in peril?
Do you like answering
the question? The yeah. show. Okay.
Do you like that?
No.
No. Do you like school supply shopping?
No.
Okay, I liked.
I did like to like getting a new outfit for school.
The outfit part,
yeah, like a whole new persona.
Yes, you know, well, who am I going to be this year?
Yeah, when somebody gets like a new jacket and then all of a sudden they're a different person.
My son got a leather jacket when he was home from college, and he looks like a different person yeah. in it. Yeah, yeah. He's like, who's the engineer now? Yeah. Oh no, he's the bad boy.
Yeah, exactly.
He looks amazing.
All it takes is one jacket to ruin somebody's life.
Whoa, I hope he doesn't
is that
ruin
it?
His
no
life.
No more questions.
No, I'm going to tell you what kind of a nerd you are.
Oh,
this is what kind of nerd you are. You are like a 13-year-old boy who got put in a time machine. It's like Freaky Friday'd, and now you're an adult man. But you still have all of the interests of a 13-year-old boy. You're playing video games. You're doing all of the, well, the soap, the 13-year-old gay boy who's watching the soap operas with his mom.
With my grandmother.
Science fiction. Yeah. Yeah. You're just like a big kid. I love it.
I disagree. What's your assessment?
I don't put people in boxes.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
my job.
So what other nerd could I possibly be? Because I think you got it wrong.
Well, you're
what
not.
Are all the categories?
You're not an intellectual nerd. You're not an outdoor nerd.
That's for
you're
sure.
You're not a musical theater nerd.
Nope.
You're not a creative nerd. Well, you are
what's
a little
a creative
bit.
Nerd?
The creative nerd is like
I don't feel like you
theater.
Asked me any questions about being
she,
creative.
Also, this
oh,
is just
so
a,
you have
this
to be
is just
in
an
theater
Amy
to be
scale.
Creative.
You haven't done a puzzle.
Wow.
You have not done a puzzle.
Who does puzzles?
Creative people do puzzles.
I think boring people who have no nothing going on in their life do puzzles.
Take that, you puzzle nerds.
Yeah.
And then, so.
Have you ever eaten acid and got on a roller coaster?
13-year-old boy.
Have you
13-year-old
ever.
13-year-old boy.
Have you ever eaten mushrooms and gotten lost in Tokyo?
Well, to get a 13-year-old boy is hard to get.
Have
to
you
Tokyo.
Ever had a three-way relationship with two German guys and you didn't speak any German, but you just followed them around
okay.
Ibiza for a couple months?
I actually did. hold on. I had
so
a German,
tell me what kind of nerd I am.
I had a German exchange student.
I'm 13.
And I kissed a lot of boys
yeah.
during the German exchange program.
See?
It's fun when you can't speak the same language.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In Myrtle Beach, they sent, like, I don't know if they were all gay, but it seemed like they were. Like French guys who were all either bisexual or gay or
just tight pants.
Something. Something
think,
was going on.
I think everyone, yeah, I think it's either bisexual
it's like everyone
or gay.
Made, everyone friends. Made out with one of the exchange guys.
Mm-hmm. That sounds fun. That's what exchange programs are
it.
For. This is
I
how we're building
it.
World peace
yeah.
is one exchange student at
so
a time.
So what kind of nerds
up.
Are there? So outdoor.
She I just, love how you're
I'm
fighting.
Not,
you're
I'm
the
not
first,
creative.
You're like my 50th guest and you're the first one who's fighting back
no,
about
yeah.
your diagnosis.
This is all just Amy's.
This is a diagnosis?
This is all Amy's Gen X. Everyone has to be in some kind of box thing.
So, do you know, remember AJ Dobbs, Amanda Dobbs? She did comedy. She,
I do remember her.
She got yes on all of these.
She said yes to everything?
Yeah, so she's the and ultimate look, nerd.
Ultimate nerd.
Yes.
Wait, what? Did you ask me all of these questions?
Basically. Mm-hmm.
Which ones didn't you ask me?
Well,
have you ever made your own clothes?
Nobody's ever questioned.
Have you
any
ever
of
written
this.
Fan fiction?
That
why don't
was
you check
already
it?
Answered because you have it. Because you wrote the Designing Women. That's fan fiction.
Okay, fair
yeah.
enough. Have you ever brewed your own mead? You checked yes to that.
Oh,
I do have tattoos. Did your parents keep a pair of binoculars out at all times for bird watching?
I love this. No one's ever questioned this list
and
or gone
she
into
checked
any
it.
Of
like she
no,
asked that to
that
me.
That was from Amanda.
Do you love? Oh, so this is Amanda's list. Okay.
Your list is on the card.
Do you
stock.
Ever? Do you get excited about buying school supplies? That's
I
weird.
Did ask.
I get excited about buying drug paraphernalia.
13-year-old boy.
13-year-old boys. That's an adult.
An
like
13-year-old
boys
okay.
smoke weed out of an apple.
Yes.
He's a 13-year-old man.
Sorry, a 13-year-old man.
Let
who
me
can
see.
Afford
I
his drug
it.
Paraphernalia and
Amanda,
his three-ways.
Amanda, she won.
Yes.
She won hers.
Yeah, she got all
what
of
was
them.
She, oh, she got them all right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Comic-Con? Yes. Have you ever owned a unicycle, woodwind instrument, clip-on tie, Death Star logo.
Lego.
Lego, which I didn't. That's pain. That's,
I know.
We're different people.
I know. I wrote down.
Am I ruining the podcast?
No one's ever cared this much about this section
it's
of
it. It's
going
on your permanent record.
How dare you imply I care about anything, first of all. An aquarium, a terrarium. You didn't ask me that?
I know.
Ham radio. I know Morse code? I do. I know SOS.
Yes.
According to my joke, at least.
Oh.
Been to band camp, Bible camp, writing camp, space camp, math camp, science camp, allergy camp.
There's a thing.
Who went to that?
They have to go to allergy camp so they don't die.
Have you ever framed a puzzle? No. Your wedding at Disney, yes or no?
Yay or nay.
Yay or nay. What are you to that? Would you have your wedding at Disney?
Nay.
Nay? Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever said, that's spelled completely wrong.
Huzzah?
That's not how it's spelled.
Okay.
I don't know how anything's spelled. Well, you're not very much of a nerd then, are you?
No.
Have you ever worn a costume more than one day? Goth counts. Was there a time in your life when your parents refused to have pictures taken of you? What does that mean?
So I have a friend who went through her goth phase.
Oh, and they wouldn't.
And they refused to take pictures of her for a year and a half.
Wow.
And that's why, like, it's like she wears really like preppy clothes now, but you can tell she has like 8 piercings in her ear that are empty. Like, oh, she has a past.
How many backups do you have for your hard drive? The cloud doesn't count. Why would the cloud not count?
Because you need an actual hard drive that you have in multiple locations. This is the
half
nerd.
Half of these
this
are from her family.
Nerd.
Half of these are okay. from her like physicist husband.
Okay.
Yeah, my physicist. Some of these questions are inspired by.
Had a birthday party for a pet. Yes. Several. All of our pets. If you're a pet at my house and it's your birthday, you get a cheeseburger from McDonald's.
You have to make
and
sure
we put
it cools
a candle
down.
In it.
Oh, that's
and we let it cool down. Yeah, of course. But we put a candle in it, and then we hold it to you, and we blow it. We sing happy birthday.
Make sure they take the onions off. No onions.
No, we leave the onions on.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
probably what kills the dogs. No, I think we take them off. They're not allowed to have onions?
Onions are bad for dogs.
I thought it was
grapes. Grapes and chocolate, but onions are bad, too. So avocado is bad. Okay, so okay. You're right. Reading silently to yourself. So,
oh, sorry. Yeah. Is that not good?
Yeah,
is that not
a
good podcast?
I was talking. I was self-selecting.
Okay. So tell me what kind of nerd I am again. Let's get the official.
You are like an adult boy. You're like a kid. Like like video
your
games.
Your Tom Hanks is big.
Okay.
Yeah. Freaky Friday. And don't fight it. It's lovely that you're playful. You're creative.
Now I'm creative.
You're creative.
I'm really having the best time here. This is the 13-year-old in me, apparently.
Yeah, you're real silly. Okay. No, I'm not. You're not the boss of me. You can't tell me who I am. I'm going home. I'm taking my Legos and leaving.
It's weird, though. The last couple podcasts I've been on, I didn't know what they were about. But they were all about, what kind of blah are you?
Oh, really?
And the last one I was on was like hippie, not hippie. And there was one before it where it was categorizing me in some capacity.
Yeah.
And I just love to defy categorization, I think.
Well, yeah.
But I can see that.
That's
I never thought of myself as quite that immature.
No, it's just interesting to see how. No,
how does that manifest for
it's
women?
Not
like, is there a female nerd that's a 13 year old boy?
Angel Contreras came on and she was into Pokemoning.
Okay. I thought adults did that too.
Adults that are still a child inside are Pokemoning around town and then pushing children down to get to them.
What's the most childish thing you do?
Oh, so much. I wake up and start doing voices at my husband, like, Operation Santa's Workshop, code red and green. Let's go.
And he likes that?
No, he hates it.
Okay.
Yeah. You just got to keep it fresh.
Okay.
You know, you can't always be lovely to your partner.
No, of course not.
You got to show them contrast.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, I rescind all of my questions and bristling at the notion that I'm whatever it is that you said I was.
Well, so, I mean, your choices are basically to be the intellect. I've had intellectual
nerds. I'm
definitely
not that. I'm definitely not.
And then there's like...
Because I don't remember the facts of things. I know
a lot about that team.
And I get the general gist, but...
There's
a 13-year boy.
Yeah. There's like people who are really into... Like they love school, perfect attendance,
mm-hmm.
like fresh school supplies,
yeah.
all of that, perfect grades... then there's like this being into video games
and you're like a musical theater nerd?
I'm a musical theater costumes, very creative, not a lot of practical knowledge. So I'm just like fairy wings, blah, 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 blah. Get out of the road, Amy, cars are coming kind of person.
Got it.
Yeah. It's fun.
Amy's an undiagnosed ADHD Gen X nerd, so she just doesn't, you know, she has to have all the columns for everybody.
I got that. I feel that.
But yeah, you sure have ADHD though.
Right. It's probably getting worse the older I get too. I hear that's what happens. Adult onset ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I bet you've had this forever. Marijuana I smoke. It's for my ADHD.
Helps
well, I used to take Adderall, but I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call that to your hands.
Years and years ago. Yeah, right. But I'm not going beat, beat, beat. I'm just going, can you hear that?
Can you hear it?
Not the shuffling.
Yeah.
Ah, that's good. Oh, well, Ian, thank you so much for being on my podcast.
That's the end?
That's the end. Yeah.
That's how we end?
Yes, where we end. Unless you want to say, oh, tell everyone where they can find you and like what your next project is so they know where to get to you. When you're skateboarding in the backyard.
I'm just contemplating who's listening to this and where I want them to intersect with me. Oh, there's like 26 people. I do a show every 2 weeks, every second and fourth Thursday at Sister Louise's Church in Edgewood at 10 o'clock called Holy Shit Show. Please come to that. It's free and it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to it one time. I stayed up late enough to do it.
Yeah.
I was proud of myself.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's too late for me now these days.
And you're on Instagram. I'll put all the links and the
I'm
stuff.
On all that.
Do you like have a? Do you drop videos anywhere on the regs that people would enjoy watching?
You can
watching?
Find me on everything at Abear Comedian.
Okay.
So mostly Instagram and TikTok. I don't fuck with X anymore, Twitter or whatever it's called, and Facebook only occasionally. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Well, YouTube. Subscribe to me on YouTube. Yeah. There you go.
YouTube. Thank you so much for being on my podcast, Ian. It's lovely to have you.
I hope this turns out to be a good episode, and I wasn't the most. Argumentative.
You were the most argumentative.
Was I?
Yeah, sure. Teenage boy. I'll say it again. I have a master's degree in teenage boys.